Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Kempire is brought to you by...
Mother's Day is right around the corner, and we are partnering with Rose Forever so that you can get yourself or your mother figure something beautiful, something that will last at least a year. So many of you have checked out Rose Forever in our collaborations in the past, and you said, I've had my roses for 2 years. Guys, it might be time for you to upgrade or change those roses. However, we always have a discount code for you. Kempire20MD, that's for Mother's Day, is now available for $20 off. It will only be available during this Mother's Day collaboration that we have. Be sure to check out the description for more details on how you can get roses, candles, even other beautiful flowers that will last you at least a year from our friends over at Rose Forever. Again, more information will be available in the description.
You're listening to Kempire here on the Kempire Radio Network.
So you get a lawsuit, you get a lawsuit, and you get a lawsuit. We have to give you an update on Fat Joe suing his former hype man for damning accusations. Not only that, we have an update in regards to this Mary J. Blige $5 million lawsuit from her former best friend and stylist, Misa Hylton. And do you know Brian McKnight has the nerve to be suing someone?
Hell no.
Well, that someone is Jaguar Wright, who had also some damning claims that he abused his ex-wife. So we reported to you yesterday about one particular lawsuit in regards to Mary J. Blige and Misa Hylton. We'll get to that in a second. But we have other lawsuits to cover before we get to it, including a lawsuit in regards to Fat Joe. Fat Joe is suing his ex-hype man, who claimed that, according to TMZ, Fat Joe liked them young. TMZ says Fat Joe has filed a hefty lawsuit against his former hype man for slandering him on social media, claiming that the guy and his lawyer are trying to shake him down for a payday. TMZ Hip Hop obtained court docs filed by Fat Joe on Tuesday in which he claims his former hype man, Terrence T.A. Dixon, is trying to collect money he didn't earn and resorted to publicly calling the rapper a PDF file on social media when he didn't get his way. According to the lawsuit, Dixon claimed on social media that Joe flew a 16-year-old girl across state lines for intercourse and posted the allegation along with a picture of Joe, Diddy, and DJ Khaled. Joe's legal counsel claims that the allegations were made as a part of a money grab generated by Dixon's attorney, Tyrone Blackburn.
girl, this girl is delusional.
Tyrone Blackburn. So if you've been following any of our stories, Tyrone has represented some very interesting characters over the years. He's even faced allegedly, I don't know if to say allegedly, some punishment or review by the courts for his actions. So they said Tyrone Blackburn, who's also representing Diddy's accuser, Little Rodney, or Little Rod, I don't know if they call him Little Rodney, in a separate case, which we've talked about. That Little Rod case, though, has grown some legs since then. The lawsuit details how Joe and Dixon began working together in 2006 when Joe offered him a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be a part of his team, complete with compensation, luxurious travel, touring, and other fringe benefits that accompany being in a superstar rapper's inner circle. Joe says that the partnership ended amicably in 2019 and says he never heard any money complaints for 6 years until Dixon began posting on social media with complaints he should have been paid more for his past work. He says Dixon lawyered up with Blackburn in March and fired off a legal demand letter asking for compensation as a, quote, ghostwriter on several of Joe's tracks. When those demands weren't met, Fat Joe says that Dixon upped the ante by spreading salacious lies about Joe and falsely claiming that Joe blocked him from obtaining outside funding for his own label startup. Blackburn tells TMZ Hip Hop that the new lawsuit is just a cover-up attempt and isn't backing down, saying that Joe filed a baseless lawsuit in an effort to soften the blow of what's to come. It won't work. Fat Joe has a lot of explaining to do. Fat Joe fiercely defends his name, telling TMZ, "These allegations are completely false and a part of a criminal conspiracy orchestrated between a disgruntled former hype man and his attorney. These two individuals have been scheming together to extort me with their elaborate and ludicrous demands, changing by the day." They said the relentless threats, harassment, and defamation have endured as they peddle salacious lies are utterly deplorable. "I'm taking legal action to expose their misconduct, and I'm fully confident that the facts will reveal this is nothing more than a deceptive and desperate scam." Fat Joe's celebrity attorney, Joe Tacopina, is slamming the lawsuit. Isn't he the part of the Wendy Williams situation? Lord, I'm getting a little too familiar with these lawsuits and lawyers. Is slamming the lawsuit altogether and tells TMZ Hip Hop the allegations against Mr. Cartagena are completely false and part of a criminal extortion scheme orchestrated by an attorney who a federal judge recently condemned for abusing the court system to harass and pressure defendants. That is what I was mentioning earlier. Mr. Cartagena will not be intimidated by fabricated claims, lies about witnesses, or shameless threats. We are taking immediate legal action to expose this fraudulent scheme, and we will hold all parties responsible fully accountable. Tacopina also sent Blackburn a cease and desist, reminding him of his recent misconduct a judge warned him over in the Diddy lawsuit. Here's the thing. If what lawyers like Tony Busby or Mr. Blackburn are doing, and they're doing this intentionally, they need to be stopped. I'm not saying that Fat Joe is innocent, because we also know there are a lot of things that happen in the music industry that are finally coming to light, i.e. Diddy. However, if the Diddy of it all thinks that some of these people that really don't have real accusations, real abuses, and they're weaponizing the court just for a quick money grab, that is so abusive and only hurts real victims. And I'm not saying that he's not a real victim. What I'm saying is, if he is not, and if some of these other civil lawsuits by Tony Busby are not real victims and they're just trying to get a money grab, including the attorneys, you are hurting real victims and their cases. So let's continue in regards to some of these stories, because Brian McKnight is suing Jaguar Wright. So a lot of people have said, well, if what Jaguar Wright has said isn't true, why hasn't anyone sued her? Well, I guess Brian McKnight heard you, and now he's suing Jaguar Wright. I didn't even know she had these claims. She's had so many different claims about different celebrities and things like that. She's actually been quiet for a while now. I know she's still been talking, but she's been quiet for the most part. Brian McKnight, according to TMZ, says that Jaguar Wright is talking crazy when she claims that he abused his ex-wife and with some ladies of the night. So now he's suing her for defamation over it. The singer just filed a lawsuit against Jaguar for a bunch of things she's been saying about him online, which he says are blatant lies. According to the lawsuit obtained by TMZ, Brian claims that Jaguar went on social media and alleged that McKnight was hiring ladies of the night. I'm saying ladies of the night, but let me just say S workers, because they may not be ladies.
Yup.
I'm not saying, but if you know the rumors over the years, I'm just saying, I'm just going to leave it open. S workers. So Brian McKnight in his lawsuit claims that Jaguar Wright said that he was hiring S workers and physically abusing them during sexual encounters. He says that never happened. What's more, Brian claims that Jaguar also alleged that he was an abusive husband to his ex-wife, Julie McKnight, who Jaguar claims and is her cousin. Brian says that he never abused his ex-wife and had no idea about her alleged relation to Jaguar. Now I'm going to reach out to Julie McKnight and ask her. Because I need to know. I need clarification. Because here's the thing. Every time that we've covered Brian McKnight, we've talked about how he has disowned his children publicly. And now he has a second Brian McKnight Jr. Literally. Because he doesn't claim his other kids with Julie. Including one of his kids is battling cancer as we speak. But he's made so many derogatory comments and thrown shade and shots at his kids online. So a lot of people are like, we don't want to hear from you, Brian McKnight. This story and behavior has hurt him now career-wise. But if he thinks that he's going to get a dime out of Jaguar Wright, this is part of the reason why Jay-Z and Beyonce and these other folks have not sued Jaguars, because it's not worth their time. If anything, talking about Jaguar through their attorneys or suing her gives her more attention. She has nothing to lose. They sue her. She doesn't show up. They get a default judgment. What are they going to get? Jaguar moves all the time. We don't know what her address is. I'm pretty sure she probably doesn't have accounts. She probably gets paid in cash anytime she does these interviews. So it's just a losing battle. If anything, suing her brings more light to her. But Brian, go off. According to TMZ, it's worth noting that Jaguar has also made allegations against Jay-Z and Beyonce going on Piers Morgan's show and claiming that the Carters have more victims than Diddy. Pierce ended up apologizing for airing his interview with Jaguar after getting a threat from Jay-Z and Beyonce's legal team. And the difference here is the fact that Piers Morgan's YouTube channel is half owned by Rupert Murdoch's company. So that's billions of dollars at stake. But also, Piers Morgan has millions of dollars at stake. Hence why, the next day, Pierce apologized. They weren't suing Jaguar Wright. They didn't send a legal letter to Jaguar Wright. They sent to Piers Morgan. Brian claims that Jaguar knew she was lying about him, but proceeded to smear his name online anyway, and he's going after her for damages. We're going to continue to follow that story, because I did find that interesting, because I didn't even see those accusations, but I do know that Jaguar Wright has made accusations about multiple celebrities over the years. Some have responded online, but not necessarily legally. I remember Tevin Campbell threatened to sue her, but I think he tried and they couldn't have an address to give to her to summon her. So I don't know. We're going to follow this to see where exactly this goes. We all have busy schedules. So I need something when it comes time for lunchtime, dinner time, that is quick, easy, but delicious. This is our umpteenth time collaborating with our friends over at Factor Meals. And I love their meals, but I also love their multiple add-ons. Shout out to our friends over at Factor Meals. Make sure this is the best season yet with nutritious 2-minute meals from Factor. Eating well has never been this easy. Just heat up and enjoy, giving you more time to do what you want. Get outside instead of prepping and cooking indoors. Factor Meals arrive fresh and ready to eat, perfect for any active lifestyle. With 45 weekly menu options, you can pick gourmet meals that fit your goals. Choose from Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, Keto, and more. And of course, we've gotten you a discount. Get started at factormeals.com/Kempire50off and use code Kempire50off to get 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. That's code Kempire50off at factormeals.com/Kempire50off. For 50% off plus free shipping. More information on Factor Meals will be available in the description. Let's give you an update in regards to this Mary J. Blige versus her former friend and stylist. And Lauren LaRosa covered this and did an interview with Misa Hylton's attorney. And here's the thing. Even was it Jess Hilarious on The Breakfast Club confirmed, literally she had just hosted Heart of a Woman event, which is a Mary J. Blige event. And both Misa and Mary were there hanging out. So this is very new. So let's get into some of the clips. These clips are made available over from our friends over at The Breakfast Club, but we are utilizing this under the copyright statute of fair use, research. We're doing journalism, commentary, all of that, okay? Let me get into what some of the clips said from Lauren LaRosa's conversation with Misa Hylton's attorney. So just before we get into that, reminder, Misa Hylton has a management company that manages Vado. A lot of you don't know who Vado is, but he's been an artist for a long time. He's been trying to come up for a long time. He was signed to DJ Khaled at one particular point. He was working with Mary J. Blige. Apparently Mary J. Blige signed him as an artist. So Vado is signed to Mary J. Blige's record label while he's signed to Misa Hylton as management, who gets 20% of anything that he earns. Apparently, he finished an album back in, I think it was June or July of last year. But Mary shelved it, allegedly, because Mary apparently was being accused in this lawsuit. Misa's accusing Mary and her security chief, AKA described in the lawsuit as her boyfriend, Mary's boyfriend, tried to woo Vado away, trying to X out Mary's once friend, Misa, wanting Vado to sign to Mary's boyfriend's management and tried to have him sign off on some of these contracts without legal representation. This is what the lawsuit is saying. They're suing Mary J. Blige for $5 million. And I know some of you are saying, $5 million for Vado? Damn, Vado, you're getting a lot of hits during this. But maybe you deserve it because a lot of people brought up allegedly. I don't know if I say alleged, but I'm going to say allegedly. You snatching up Tahiri on Marriage Boot Camp.
Well,
they're suing for $5 million because they're talking about potentially what Vado could have made from the album, from touring opportunities, et cetera, et cetera. Mind you, this lawsuit is not just Misa Hylton suing Mary J. Blige. It's Misa Hylton's production company that manages Vado and Vado suing Mary J. Blige because they want to be released and release this album. Everyone else is reacting. It's like, damn, but Mary J. Blige and Misa are not just former clients. They were best friends, allegedly. I don't know. I'm not going to say someone's a best friend. That's what people have said, you know, based off their public appearances together. But obviously, they were friendly. Misa, apparently, through her attorney, is saying that, yeah, they were cool, but things started to change. Did they start to change, Mary, because of this new relationship with your security chief? Let's see.
Misa Hylton and Mary J. Blige, they're not just friends. They're non-biological family, probably closer than blood family. And it's very unfortunate that this had to go down like this because Misa tried every possible avenue in terms of trying to amicably resolve this with Mary, directly with Mary's camp. But unfortunately, and it's unbeknownst to us, why Mary J. Blige and why her camp completely cut off, you know, Miss Hylton. And I can tell you, this Vado lawsuit isn't why their friendship died. Misa's confused. And we've tried, Misa's tried to reach out to Mary. We did not want this in the media. Misa just thought that Mary may have been busy, or when Misa stopped getting phone calls and text messages and not being included on the normal things that they do on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, her antennas went up and we try to figure out, well, what's going on here? And that's really when we started.
Ooh, that is some shady, shady mess. Also, a lot of people have said, I don't know this for a fact, but people have said that Mary J. Blige is the godmother to the child that Misa shares with Diddy, Justin.
To figure out that the relationship wasn't the same.
So it was blindsided?
She, yeah. So
by what?
By the way that the friendship fell off. Like, according to Misa's attorney, she's alleging that at some point, her and Mary just, like, stopped speaking. Like, she was reaching out. Mary wasn't responding to phone calls. Wasn't inviting her to certain things. Her?
Well, I got to get your attention somehow. No. Okay. I told you to call me back.
So, did you guys want a response and saying that this is the point where you're Mary? Before it got to this point where you're saying that this is happening, how much correspondence and what did you guys want out of that correspondence?
The first thing that we always do in situations like this is we'll send over a letter, what we call an LOI, a letter of intent. Before we did that, though, what we did was we reached out personally. I reached out to her legal team. We know who they are. And we tried via email, via text message, whatever phone numbers we can get from other people in our orbit in the industry. And we got absolutely zero response. And the way that we wanted to do this was, yes, in terms of a settlement. I mean, let's be honest here. Vado, I understand that maybe in 2025, and on whatever day today is, April 29th, 2025, that maybe he's not as relevant as he was prior. But
oh God, boom. Whoa. Okay, attorney. Damn, Vado's getting all the hits right now.
Damn, somebody telling the truth.
He's not signed to an independent label. He signed to Mary J. Blige.
See, and I'm glad the lawyer said that because I'm just asking questions strictly from a business perspective.
Right.
Did Vado ever make Cam $5 million? I don't know. Did Vado ever make Khaled $5 million? I don't know. So,
I mean, listen, at the end of the day, you know, Sean Combs and what's going on with him, it's unfortunate, but it affects everybody. You know, Misa's a wonderful woman. You know, Sean's kids are wonderful, wonderful kids. I can't say more about them. They really were raised as gentlemen. And I deal with them on a consistent basis, but she's upset. And again, she's more upset of the relationship. It's like all of a sudden you have a sister that you've been with forever. And 40 years later, all of a sudden your sister stops talking to you and you have no reason why.
Yeah, but you don't escalate that with a lawsuit.
You don't escalate that with a lawsuit. However, when you're doing business, that's what you have to do. And she's accusing Mary J. Blige, Misa Hylton, of stealing her artist or trying to attempt to steal her artist. And when she couldn't do that because Votto had a loyalty to his management, which I can appreciate, Mary basically tried to stop her bag. That's this $5 million. Yes, I know some people might say that's inflated, but they're talking about the potential. Who knows? This could have been Votto's big moment. Come on. Come on, y'all. Stop laughing. This could have been his big moment. We don't know. At least he didn't give up on his dream. There's so many artists today, some that have tried so many times. Because we're looking, okay, the first example, Janet Jackson had two albums that you don't even recognize before her Control album came out. I'm just saying, sometimes people's career point, look at Oprah. When you talk about Oprah, Oprah became really successful later on in life. I think she was like damn near 40. So I'm not going to sleep on Votto like that.
All right, girl.
I know people have their jokes. However, we don't know. And this is what they're talking about in Misa Hylton's lawsuit. And unfortunately, when you do business with friends, this is how you have to handle business. But clearly, this is not just business between Misa Hylton and Mary J. Blige. This is also a once friendship. And now, based on what they're accusing Mary of, again, these are just allegations. This is not fact. But based off the allegations, I'm sort of like, damn, Mary, are you moving funny like this? Because you are trying to, because let's not pretend Mary has talked about this, that she's had some financial struggles since her divorce. That's why she literally said she had to go sleep on one of those record, I think it was, I don't want to say the wrong name, but a record executive, she had to sleep on their couch. Not Diddy, it was another one. And she had to sleep on their couch when she left her ex-husband. So I don't know if she's just moving funny. I don't know if this is Diddy related.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Related in regards to if Diddy was out, would it even have escalated to this point? Maybe not. Are people starting to act funny now that Diddy's under lock and key? Maybe. Who knows? I don't know. It feels like every time we talk about a story, like yesterday when we talked about T.D. Jakes, everyone ties it back to Diddy. Is Diddy the glue involved in why people are doing what they're doing? Why these executives are stepping down? Why these folks are suing each other? Why people are fighting? Maybe. Real Housewives of Potomac star Gisele Bryant is coming to Kenya Moore's defense, saying that if Britt Eady threatened her with a pistol, she should have been fired immediately. Not only that, we have to talk about the backlash that Portia Williams is getting from even her own fans for her joke or comment about maybe she should sleep with Angela Oakley's husband, Charles. We also have to talk about the Real Housewives of Atlanta's ratings this week. They're not that bad, but still not that great. And Bravo announced today that the Real Housewives of Miami is coming, so they released the trailer for the season. Let's break it down. Before we get into the Real Housewives of Atlanta, finally, one of our favorite reboots has to be Real Housewives of Miami, and Bravo just dropped their trailer and let us know that the new season will begin on June 11th, and I can't wait to talk about it. So if you enjoy content like this, make sure you are subscribed and your notifications are on. So under Copyright Act, blah, 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 under fair use, I'm going to play the audio of the trailer, and I'm going to break down, so I will be stopping and pausing just to highlight the most important parts that stood out to me. We even get an appearance of Dr. Nicole. And Dr. Nicole, I'm starting to think the reason why you decided not to come back was because of this newbie that's starting that allegedly dated her fiance. Maybe, based off of what we get in the trailer, but maybe not. All right, so let me get into this. So they start off with the trailer where they're already going to, this is what I love about Miami. They're making an exotic trip to Seville, Spain. Yes, come on now.
Oh. Flamenco is more than a dance.
First of all, the costumes that they, and when I say costumes, I mean that in the best way, because these women know how to bring the fashion.
speaks to our soul, our alma.
They
Flamenco
look great.
Is passion, love, and anger.
Sidebar, I did see an interview with Gertie, and Gertie was talking about some issues that she has this season, and she drops the name Julia. We even hear that Julia and Adriana fall out. I have to wait and see before I choose a side. I know some of you are already going to be team whoever. I'm always team me, regardless. But I want to wait and see how this plays out, because I've never really been a huge fan of Julia. But look at me, still giving her some grace. Let me see how this plays out. Gertie. Adriana, because Adriana's been a mess for forever, okay? My last year, it says.
Fits like a glove.
And then they show this old footage of Marcus and Larsa. I'm so glad that he won't be on the show, though. But are we going to be talking? That feels like such yesterday's news.
He was sending really threatening text messages at the end.
I believe her when she says that, because, you know, we've already seen he's got arrested recently for the Book of Sugar. So I believe, you know, that, you know what they say about the crack anger, allegedly.
Alexei Astrid-Nicola, I love you.
Okay, I'm sorry I keep stopping it, but I have to, because I have to give you context. I just saw photos of Alexia and Todd on the beach together. Yes, they were married for 2 years, got a divorce, but they're still together. I don't understand that. Maybe it's giving, what's his name, Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn, where they never got married. Maybe this works for certain people. Maybe. So they talk about, they throw up Page Six's article headline, Real Housewives of Miami star Alexia Nopola's husband, Todd, files for divorce after 2 years of marriage.
I got home. Todd's gone. He's gone.
I don't even want to be happy anymore.
Group hug.
Pile in hookers.
Todd.
Not pile in hookers. That's what I love. I have to say, when I saw the group photo where they don't include the friend doves of the show, but for Miami, the friend doves are so important. You know what I mean? Kiki, Adriana, Marisol. They, for me, they're full cast members in our heads, and I hope they're paid accordingly.
This season on The Real Housewives of Miami.
Why is Marisol looking like she's going to a funeral in her confessional? But I love her. And I know you all say, but she's a drunk. No, I'm still in denial. I'm still in denial.
She have one eye. She's
why does she look like?
Why is Marisol wearing an eye patch? Okay.
A pirate.
Sevilla, here we come.
I am walking one of the biggest fashion weeks in the world. Looks like I still got it.
Wait, are we also going to Milan? Because this is what Elisa's talking about. How many trips are we going on right now? They said we were in Seville, then we're in Milan. Now we're in, hold on, what was this? Marbella? What? Okay, yes, okay, yes. Come on, Real Housewives of Miami.
The most epic cruise ever.
They're doing a cruise? I mean, something about that feels cheap, but at the same time, okay, different.
No.
Honey, yes.
Here she is.
I'm excited to meet Stephanie.
So this is Dr. Nicole. Dr. Nicole has a scene. Here's the thing that I do like about the newbies of Real Housewives of Miami is that they really have become friends. They're not just hanging out during filming like a lot of these other housewives. And I'm glad to still see Dr. Nicole, because Dr. Nicole is still very much good friends with Gertie and a bunch of other people on this cast. So we do get an appearance of Dr. Nicole. And whoa, is that in a gate? Whose ring is this? Oh, this must be Stephanie's.
Of all the people that could join the group,
the fact that she actually dated Anthony.
There have to be some similarities if the same man liked us both.
So they did. They confirmed that this new housewife dated Anthony.
It's petite, you petite. She got a plane, you got a plane.
She's got
mine's
a big.
Kind of big.
Her plane is big. Her private jet is big. Okay, Stephanie.
We have an expanded our family.
Mom!
I forgot that Julia adopted kids, so we're going to see that play out during the season as well.
To plan for our next procedure.
Do we keep doing this over and over and over?
Well, here's the thing. They're talking here in this scene with Gertie and her husband about, I don't know what exactly, but they're, remember, she dealt with breast cancer. I don't think people realize or even talk about, a lot of times people go through that process on reality television. We think that it's over, but no, you're supposed to get tested, I think, like consistently for a certain a period of time.
Alexia with Todd is not a good Alexia.
Do you think there's anything that will help Alexia get over Todd?
New D.
Marisol says that Alexia needs a new D to get over Todd.
I feel like people take advantage of me. And then you came into my life and that stopped and people are mad about it.
He's on.
This is Lisa talking about her relationship with what's his face. I can't even remember his name. Here's the thing with Lisa, but this is what makes this such a great show. Everyone's different. Everyone has different challenges. Lisa's challenge is that she can't just get things on her own, do things on her own. She moved from one relationship to the next where he's carrying her as well.
All of our business calls.
Maybe he's her manager.
He's a social climber.
What about?
So Larsa's calling her new man a social climber. Do we think that he's a social climber?
You and Gertie.
She's not my safe space anymore.
You're a snake. Okay, you're nasty. Guys.
Were Julia and Gertie ever really that close? So Julia says that Gertie is no longer her safe space?
You're a liar.
Who do you think you are?
Stephanie Shojai.
Bitch, I'm Alexia Napola.
There's going to be a showdown between Alexia and Stephanie, and I'm here for it. I'm already Team Stephanie. I'm kidding. Or am I? She goes, oh, I'm Alexia. I like Stephanie already. It's only a trailer, but that for me is going to be hilarious.
Flamenco is life.
So they're all walking down. They're in Spain. They're all walking down. You can imagine the dresses. I'll post the picture up. They look amazing. I just noticed, though, based off this trailer, I know she's a friend of, but we've gotten quite a few moments from Marisol, but we haven't really gotten any Adriana moments.
His vida.
Catch the new season of The Real Housewives of Miami, June 11th.
Yeah, June 11th, guys. All right. Are we excited about the new season of The Real Housewives of Miami? Of course we are. We've been waiting for forever. It feels like forever. They've wrapped the season months ago. But it still feels fresh, and I get it. Bravo wanted to wait till it started, the weather started changing everywhere for us to feel the vibes of Miami. Well, we're ready. We're ready, okay? All right, so I'm excited about The Real Housewives of Miami. The trailer is definitely trailering for me, okay? All right, speaking of trailers, oh gosh. First of all, Real Housewives of Atlanta, as you know, the ratings have been dropping consistently. There was a bit of an uptick. The not last week's episode, but the previous episode had like 600 and something thousand viewers. Last week's episode had 500,000 viewers, which was not great. This week's episode definitely saw a climb in viewership. This week they had 580,000 viewers with a 0.12 demo. For me, it's more about the demo. Live viewership is not the same as it used to be, but the demo for Real Housewives of Atlanta has dropped dramatically. So Ratings Bravo on Twitter says that the ratings this week were 580,000 viewers, matched their series low in demo. So the demo went down again this week. I think last week it was 0.13. This week it's 0.12. Again, the demo is important because that's about advertisers and what advertisers are looking for. So the demo has dropped, but okay. It will be interesting to see what the rest of the season of Real Housewives of Miami looks like, but let's talk about Porsha. Okay. Oh, before we talk about Porsha, let's talk about Kenya and Giselle. So Giselle was on virtual reality, there we go, for Page Six, and she reacted to what's been playing out on Real Housewives of Atlanta and what happened between Kenya Moore and Britt Eady.
Are you hopeful that Kenya will come back to Atlanta?
I would like that. And yeah. I'll give you my two cents on that.
Okay.
We had Kenya who called Pistol Girl a peasant.
Yes.
But that's kind of like a rite of passage. Like, ooh. Kenya's probably called me a peasant at one point in time. I'm not even on the show, right?
It's the same. Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, thank you, right?
Yeah.
And that was turned into, I'm going to get a pistol, right? That's like, wow.
That's yeah.
So had she been... This is also a person that's probably not been with Bravo for more than 30 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it...
Yeah, that happened literally maybe 2-3 weeks into filming, that incident with Britt Eady. And Kenya probably has called Giselle and a bunch of other people peasants. Does it make it right? We'll debate with someone else.
It's kind of like, you should have been fired on the spot.
For the pistol comment.
Mm.
Yeah.
Boom. And look, we can feel the way that we feel about Giselle. And yes, we know Giselle has had her past egregious behavior. However, this is what we've been saying. This is a work environment. And I don't believe Andy Cohen when he says that they did an investigation. And if they did their investigation, you did not confirm that she did or did not have a pistol on her at the time, even though we've seen old interviews with Britt Eady saying she always has her pistol with her at all times. So those threats become even more real. Again, for those that would be like, well, still, that doesn't justify... We understand. We've said this countless times. I'm going to say it again. Kenya's reaction wasn't correct either. Again, this is a work environment. However, I've said before, would we even have gotten to the place where we are today if Bravo had did what they were supposed to do from the beginning? And I'm not saying that they had to necessarily fire Britt Eady, but the way that they handled it doesn't seem appropriate.
And so we never would have gotten to the
hair care moment.
Yes, hair care moment. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
We should never even gotten there, because that should have been nipped in the bud immediately. It would have been on Potomac, I'm going to say that.
That's okay.
So if one is gone, they both should be gone. If one is there, they both should be there.
I see.
So a lot of people are praising Giselle for her take on this, mostly Team Twirl. But I have to say, I don't disagree with her. And there are a lot of things that happen on Real Housewives of whatever city that a lot of people compare what happened when it comes to the Britt Eady and the Kenya of it all. Regardless, every situation, if you work in HR, you know this too. Every situation is handled as a situation. What happened before or a few years before is not necessarily going to be the way that they handle it in 2025. But I do believe not only are Kenya wrong and Britt Eady wrong, I also believe that Bravo did not handle, NBC Universal did not handle this situation correctly. And yes, we are how many weeks later still talking about this? Well, people are being asked about it. And this is what Giselle has said. And I don't even know Giselle and Kenya to have a friendship or relationship. I think she's just looking at the situation. And despite being employed by the network, I'm sure the network doesn't love the fact that the face, quote, the face of Real Housewives of Potomac, is basically saying, y'all got it wrong. But, you know, look, I can appreciate someone just standing by what they believe in and not just shucking and jiving for the network. Perfect segue to Portia.
Do you want me to bring the receipts? Do I need to bring the receipts, baby girl?
Because
I got receipts.
And this is why you're blocked, Kempire. Whatever. I'm never going to stop to tell you my true opinion. Block me, follow me, I don't care, okay? I am truly surprised because I was watching the sneak peek for next week's episode, and I was just reading the comment section on YouTube, on socials, and people are dragging Portia because of what she said in last week's episode in regards to, oh, I should sleep with Angela Oakley's husband, Charles. And she tried to blame it on Watch What Happens Live, oh, her drinking. And a lot of people are saying, first of all, I used to be a Portia fan, and now I'm no longer a Portia fan. A lot of people are saying that. I've seen that comment so many times. And a lot of people are saying, well, we've been told you this about Portia. Portia's never going to get away from those claims of her taking someone else's husband. Here's the thing, though. I think Portia really thought that she could do what she did with Simon Gobadia and take this time off and then come back to the show and then not be questioned about it. And people would kind of let it go. I think you probably could have allowed people to let it go if you didn't make comments like you did about Angela Oakley's husband. A lot of people are also saying, Bravo, you paid Porsha how much to come back and do what? A lot of people are saying Porsha's return has been lackluster and a failure. A lot of people are saying that. Even fans of Porsha, they're saying she's not bringing it. I'm going to play devil's advocate. I'm going to twerk on a fence because it, one of the things that she said, I think it was on Watch What Happens Live, is that she said that there were certain things that she couldn't say about Simon Gobadia. Remember, Simon was sending cease and desist to the network. So I'm wondering if that is part of the reason why it hindered her having anything this season. Because remember, when she first signed on returning, she said that she was coming back as Mrs. Simon Gobadia, basically Porsha Gobadia. And that's what the network had signed up for as well. But then we saw a divorce happen, okay? That's because information about his past got exposed. But people have been exposing that for a long time, even before she married him. But okay, we'll give her some grace. But a lot of people have been saying, both when we recapped it in the comment section, in the sneak peek for next week's episode, where Porsha's talking about feeling betrayed by Drew Sidora, everyone is saying, girl, why are you still talking about Drew? Why are you dragging out this Drew and Dennis storyline? In all fairness, here I go, twerking on a fence again. In all fairness, I'm not saying what Drew has done filming with someone's baby's father that's on the show is cool. I don't think that's cool either, y'all. But I get it. I also feel like Porsha, that's not the real issue. That's not the reason why she was so upset during this last trip. I feel like something more was happening, maybe something with Simon. But again, could she or could she not talk about Simon at that point? I don't know. But I do feel like she's making the issue with Drew bigger than it actually is, because she's also refusing to have a conversation with Drew, to actually move forward with Drew. And Drew came out on social media saying basically the same thing. Like, she's refusing to have the conversation. So if there is an issue, let's have the conversation and just dead it. But I also look at Drew sideways as, you're trying to film a Go Naked Hair commercial or for the show. That's not your position. I get that. You're trying to film with my baby's father. That's kind of weird. But I made these mistakes. Let's have the conversation. And there have been multiple scenes where Porsha refuses to have the conversation. Porsha, you got to figure it out, because you can't talk about Simon Gobadia. People are tired of you dragging this issue with Dennis and Drew. And now you're talking about sleeping with another married man. Now, everyone, the same backlash that she was getting after the Simon of it all, I'm literally seeing that loom right now. And that's probably why Porsha decided to block me ahead of this week's recap, because she knew that I'm going to talk about it. And she knows I'm going to hold her accountable, at least in my review. Sorry, Porsha, but not sorry. I wonder if she'll put out a video this week. Has she put one out? I saw Nene did. Anyway, guys, as always, I want to know your reaction to the Real Housewives of Miami recap trailer that came out. I also want to know your reaction to the ratings for Real Housewives of Atlanta. And I want to know your thoughts on what Giselle had to say about the Kenya of it all. And so many ands. And I want to know your reaction to the backlash that Porsha seemingly is getting for her recent comments, her lack of a storyline, etc., etc. Thanks for tuning in to Kempire here on the Kempire Radio Podcast. As always, don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. And for everything Kempire Radio, head on over to KempireRadio.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.